19 minutes before 9 o'clock on this Friday morning, time for today's edition of Northeast Colorado Talks. I'm Alec Creighton, and on the line with us is State Representative Dusty Johnson, and we appreciate your joining us this fine morning.
Happy to be on. Happy first Friday of interim.
Which means the General Assembly wrapped up its 120-day session. You've got a fancy Latin term for that, and that just means it's time to head out of town or something like that.
It means that our constitutional obligation of a 120-day session has ended, and Colorado is safe for 8 months.
The coast is clear for a little while. That's a good way of thinking of it. And so both houses of the Colorado legislature are controlled by Democrats, so your Republican caucus a lot of times winds up just having to work on amendments or to try to keep things from being passed. And it sounds like that was maybe kind of the theme of the last few days of the legislature. And you were able to stop some things that your caucus was not in favor of.
Yes. We were able, the Colorado House Republicans were able to stall two measures. We kept Senate Bill 43, the gun barrel bill, from ever hitting third reading. So it died on the calendar and they never heard it because we were using enough stalling tactics and strategy, which is huge because that's one of the biggest gun bills this year that we got the most outreach on of concern. And then the second was the Speaker of the House wanted to do a late bill that would undermine the ballot initiative 177 to deal with natural oil and gas because they have the religion of, you know, climate change, wanting to move all the renewable and still push oil and gas out of the state. And through a whole bunch of basically filibustering and delaying on other bills, we ran the clock where she ran out of time that she could no longer actually introduce it.
So that's that has to do with the ballot question we'll see in November. Am I following that right?
Yeah. So we saw two other bills that came forth. The state body, as the majority, had two bills already go through that would undermine the will of the people on the ballot, saying, well, if this ballot passes, we have a law that will go in place and basically strike it already. Or if this ballot passes, we have something that will change the language in case the people go this way. It's basically like the property taxes we saw a couple years ago where the people voted on the ballot and then we had special session 2 years, the 2 weeks after. This was going to do the same thing of I want the people to be able to talk at the ballot. Democrats are getting tired of hearing the people say the opposite of what they want. Now they're coming up with bills or strategies to basically undermine when the people vote a certain way.
So what? Let's boil down to what the effect of this is. What are the specifics that are in the law or would have been in the law? What is the impact of all of this?
So the one we were able to keep from getting passed essentially would have continued the hold on oil and gas these past few years. There was a negotiation between the oil industry and the governor saying if the oil industry would stay with their current permits and stop trying to do pro-oil legislation, then the governor would stop doing anti-oil and gas legislation or ballot initiative. So it was kind of a stalemate after we saw 121 pass that really hurt the industry. That's supposed to end that agreement here after this session. So 177 was going to help bring back more permits for oil and gas. It passed and other stuff. And so the speaker wanted to help kind of, she wanted to curtail that to continue the agreement that was already in place that's going to expire.
Okay. It sounds like a lot of parliamentary.
So simply, there's a ballot initiative that's pro-oil and gas that's going to be coming to the ballot for the people to vote on.
Okay.
She's anti-oil and gas, and this bill would have basically stripped away that ballot initiative's power.
Okay. So that we will see on the November ballot. And what other things will we see on the November ballot that came out of this year's session?
So the people brought forth, and it's still circulating, a ballot initiative to fix our roads. I'm not sure if you've seen that. I know it was out in Sterling and Morgan across the state saying that the people are telling the state they want our roads fixed by potholes and actual fixes, not just by bike lanes and EV stations. That they're really saying that transportation means fixing the road. So what passed out of the General Assembly was putting guardrails on that, saying, well, if we pass this initiative, we're going to take the funds away from education. So if the people decide to vote on this ballot initiative later this year, there is a bill that passed that says that money then will be taken from other, these specific funds, education and healthcare. And so the state's saying, well, you could pass this bill to fix the roads, but we're telling you where we're going to cut. So now you have to choose between roads or education and healthcare.
So, and that did pass the legislature, so that's the way it's going to set up now. Okay, so that's...
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like what in some contexts would be called a poison pill to try to get us to not pass that to start with.
Correct. Yeah, basically kind of swaying the people, saying, yeah, we'll let you... I mean, we can't stop you from voting on this, but if you vote, we're going to tell you exactly where we're going to cut now. Kind of as a way to deter people from doing that.
Interesting. Okay. Well, let's kind of turn things around a little bit and talk about some of the successes from this session. I know you had some bills that you sponsored and were in favor of. Let's talk about some of those.
Yeah. The biggest one for me is it's been signed into law already to make our EMTs and paramedics essential. And... So this is huge. They have now the same essential service, essential worker liability protections that our police and firemen have.
And it's really interesting that before they didn't. So is that what's the impact of that? Is that liability and what all impact does that law change have?
Yeah. So the impact would be that their duty to respond has been extended. So when you see roads that are, say, you know, road closure in the state of Colorado, that means only essential workers are allowed to go beyond that point because you'll see, flashing lights and emergencies go down 76 when it's closed because of a blizzard. They're allowed to do it if something unfortunate would happen, a popped tire on the vehicle, they're on the side of the road responding and they happen to get exposed to something because they're treating someone with, you know, that's bleeding. The old law would be that that was outside their scope because they're not essential. And so there could be a question if their workers' comp or what liability protections they would have. Now with this law passing, they have the exact same protections as if they were responding to somebody outside of a road closure or outside of a mass disaster.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that sounds like a good change. Yeah. Interesting that that wasn't already the case. So have that cleared up. What are some other things that were favorable in your view from this session?
We saw a huge step for agriculture. Back in 2021, we had that ag labor bill that put a lot of restrictions on how ag labor could work. This year, there was a bill that went through that expands that time frame from 48 hours to 56 hours a week for agriculture workers. As we all know out here, you know, and we've seen it, you have very bad weather patterns, whether it's, you know, fires or back in a couple years ago, it was floods. And so you can't be out in the field working. As soon as you're able to work, people pile on those hours.
So this is where the time and a half would have to be paid on overtime hours for more than is reasonable for that, the ag context.
Correct. Yeah. So it's essentially that it allows for workers to pick up more hours and farmers to allow them to pick up more hours because of that time and over half. Farmers and ranchers aren't rich, but they need the labor. But are they going to just hire more people and split those hours out instead of doing that time and a half? And so this allows them to keep the same labor like they were able to before 2021. And it allows the labor to still pick up those extra hours to get more, you know, more money for their families.
Right, and that that seems practical in this context. And they were trying to, it sounds like, kind of overlay different considerations than actually are practical in the ag context.
Yep, and they were explaining, you know, because they kept trying to compare agriculture to every other work industry. If you have to stay behind at a restaurant to clean up beyond your time, you get overpay. If you, you know, whatever job it is, you, you know, you do extra time, and trying to explain to them that agriculture is a different mindset. It's a different time frame than your regular.
Yep. Yep. I think our phone call dropped. Are you still there, Dusty?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There, you're back. Yeah. So, tell us how that, finally, wound up shaking out, because it kind of went back and forth for a while during the session, I think.
It did. We were very nervous when if we could even get it out of the Senate to the House. And then we were able to, and amazing sponsors, you know, in the House were Assistant Minority Leader Ty Winter and Representative Matt Martinez, really used the power of the Rural Caucus and the explaining that this is for rural, this is for agriculture. And it took a lot of us trying to lay that ground for our urban colleagues on explaining that your constituent who does garden work or who works, you know, at a local food market in Denver is not experiencing the same thing that we are when people are working cattle or the fields out in Eastern Plains.
Right.
And so it passed. It got signed. And so it's now law. And so it was hugely needed, and it took a lot of educational effort.
Okay. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to us, but you have to educate our city brethren, I guess we can say on that.
And that was probably a good portion of at least 3-4 weeks of education and focusing specifically trying to do that.
We're visiting with State Representative Dusty Johnson, represents the 63rd District of Colorado. The legislative session just ended. One of the biggest headlines going into and during the session was the budget deficit that the state of Colorado was dealing with. Our state constitution says our budget has to be balanced. How did that all play itself out as the session wound up?
When the long bill, which is the budget, was passed, it was a balanced budget. Unfortunately, within a week after seeing that passage and the bill sent to the governor, colleagues were now having bills that had fiscal notes again, asking for more money. Agencies coming and saying, we need more FCE, we need more money for personnel before we leave session, because we expect X, Y, and Z to happen while we're out, and we don't want to come back to a special session. So at one point, it was as close as we could to getting it balanced while pulling a lot of funds and moving a lot of dollars around, a lot of which I didn't agree with. I ended up voting no on it because the way they were moving the dollars was not the priority I think we need in the state. But regardless, we did see bills come forth with huge fiscal notes afterwards. So I fear that we'll have to come back later this year because we really it's an unbalanced budget at this point. It was, and now it's not because people wanted to spend more.
So that was going to be one of my questions. You had a special session last year. I was going to ask if you think you're going to make it through this year without a special session, but you think budget considerations may require you to come back in and deal with those sometime later this year?
I think so, because when you're robbing Peter or one department to pay Paul in another department for a short term, so that way, because constitutionally, we have to balance the budget twice a year. I wish that that meant that we had to keep it balanced for those durations. The majority takes it as, yeah, we balanced it on the state, so we met it twice, and then it ends up being out of unbalanced again afterwards. So I don't want to put it in the atmosphere, but I fear that we will probably be back.
What other things will be on your radar between now and next session, which is scheduled to start in January, barring a special session? What sorts of things will be the main things that you're watching and doing in the interim now?
So I still sit on the Legislative Audit Committee, so I'll be going to the Capitol still as the oversight of different agencies, making sure, you know, what they're doing is brought to transparency and they're doing what they promised they're doing. So I'll still be going to the Capitol to keep check and audit our departments. Going around, I can't wait till fair time, talking with folks. I really want to dig into fire mitigation this session. I mean, this interim, because we've had way too many fires. It seems, you know, for a time being, it almost seemed like we had a fire every week. And they were well managed, thanks to our first responders in our community. But with how dry it's been, we're going to have to look at, you know, what kind of efforts, what's there, what's the, you know, conversation. And so that will be one of the things I'm looking at while listening to everyone out in the plains. How are what we just did this session going to affect you? Good or bad? How's it going to affect you? And what's that mean as we move forward?
Right, right. Okay, well, we will look forward to seeing you at things like county fairs and parades and all those this summer. And we really appreciate the update on the session this morning.
Yes, and if anyone has questions, they can reach out to me anytime to ask on what's happened or didn't happen. My mind is still in session mode with it having just ended Wednesday. So if what I didn't make sense today, please reach out and I can explain.
Okay, very good. Thanks very much for the update. Good luck transitioning out of the Golden Dome into the real world. And we'll look forward to seeing you this summer. Thanks very much, Dusty.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And State Representative Dusty Johnson, our guest this morning on today's edition of Northeast Colorado Talks.